The Simba Room Effect from RPGGods.org and FictionSuit.org.
Welcome to The Simba Room Effect, brought to you by Dave, Matthew, and the guys from the Coriolis Effect podcast. I'm Dave, and this is an actual play podcast telling the ongoing story of Granite Hold and the adventures of Potboy the Ogre and Radomaramai and Grendel the Changelings. This scenario has only been lightly edited into 5 parts. So let us take you into the dark and mysterious world of Simba Room, to the kingdom of Ambria and the forests of Davakar. Sit back and enjoy The Tale of Troubled Spirits, Part 1.
Can I actually introduce a thing?
Can you introduce it?
I just want to take a moment for us all. Because I don't know whether you heard yesterday, but the longtime god of role-playing, Greg Stafford, died yesterday afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. In his sweat lodge. And I'm just, you know, we have played so much Pendragon, which pretty much is, I mean, he invented RuneQuest and other games as well and was involved in Chaosium.
I thought it was somebody else who...
Well, he invented Glorantha, so he got Sandy Peterson to do the rules of RuneQuest, but just like Pendragon's his baby. We've all really enjoyed Pendragon, so I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to Greg Stafford.
Indeed, yes. 30 years of grief.
Is that a round of applause time?
No, I don't know what it is.
No, it is.
But, yeah, there we go. What did we do last time?
Well, let's start by introducing ourselves again. So, okay. I'm Dave. I'm the GM for this.
I'm Tony. My character is Radomaramai, the Changeling. Don't laugh just because I pronounced my name character. Radomaramai, that's absolutely fine. There was no need for that.
Sorry.
At all.
What, picking on the players?
Yeah, was cool. A changeling who was abandoned with a human family by the elves once the family realised that I wasn't their actual human child. They abandoned me as well, and I've been brought up in the Inn of the Lonesome Ogre ever since.
And I'm Matthew, and I am playing Potboy. Potboy, very unusually for me, doesn't say very much at all. And he is an ogre, and in fact, he is the Lonesome Ogre. The story goes that when the goblins who run the Lonesome Ogre came to build their inn here, they built their inn around a statue.
A stone statue.
Against which a small ogre child was huddled, cuddling, and I'd been here since before the inn was.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, my name's Andrew, and I play another changeling, Grendel. Easier name to pronounce there. And I'm just trying to find out what happened to my parents and why, because they've run off into the woods or something like that. Dead bodies or something.
They were exiled.
Exiled.
Because they wanted to keep you. They loved
That's
you.
Right,
they didn't
yeah.
want to abandon you. But the people in Granite Hole wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
So they were then exiled. And then their bodies in the first scenario or second scenario were brought back.
And then the second scenario, they came back to life, didn't they? Disappeared into the forest.
Yes.
Nice.
After you found those,
found those
mystical hearts.
That's right, yeah.
And that was the last time we played. That's
yes,
right.
Yeah.
So at the end of the last scenario, you'd gone off looking for these mystical hearts in the cold caverns to the north of Granite Hold. After your adventures getting in there, you managed to get past the broken wall. Mm-hmm. And inside that was a little shrine. And when you recovered the hearts, you found there was a door that you couldn't open. But peering through, see an enormous lost city in the gloom through the bars of the door, but you couldn't open the door and you couldn't get through.
No.
And so you then returned to Granite Hold.
We also, our antagonist getting those granite hearts was some sort of gremlin or some
shape-changing. There were shape-changing
imps that were spending much of their time as goblins, but then changed into
horrible insect creatures.
One insect creature, and then they turned into hawks as well when they tried to escape. But you killed both of them.
Killed both of them.
I seem to remember.
I know we had some sort of attempt to negotiate with one of them. One of them had got in there first and had one of the hearts and threatened to destroy it.
Yeah.
And we did have some vague sort of half-hearted attempt to have a negotiation with it.
And then you tried to grab it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we are for the next scenario. One thing I'm going to run for this scenario is we've often talked about the binary nature of D20 dice mechanic in this game. So I've written up some tweaks to that, and I'll just briefly explain them now. So the default for the game still remains 1d20, and that still works as the rules is written. Yep, you get your attribute that you need to roll under. That will be modified by the opponent's relevant attribute or the circumstances relevant attribute, and then you need to roll under that number. So 1d20 still remains the default for this. But if you wish to increase your chances of succeeding whilst trading off the impact of that success, so the success if you get it will be less, you can choose to roll up to 3d20 instead, with the same target number. Now that comes with some risks. If you don't get any successes at all, you will have a major complication under that circumstances. It's kind of like you're trying too hard almost to succeed, to get some level of success, and you're not letting instincts take over. So there's a greater chance of screwing up if you fail. So if you roll no successes on 2 or 3 d20, then you have a major complication coming out of that. So the options actually are, you'll either get a full success if you roll a success on all the dice you roll. You'll get half success if you roll on 1 or 2 dice, depending on if you roll 1 success lower than the number of dice you're rolling. So if you're rolling 3 dice and you get 2 successes, you'll get a half success. If you're rolling 2 dice and you get 1 success, you'll get a half success. If you roll 3 dice and you only get 1 success, you'll get, in effect, a quarter level success. And you may well get, depending on the circumstances, a minor complication out of that as well. So there is risk in trying to do this. One area where it's going to see how it works is if you're using it on a defense roll, whereby a bad guy's trying to hit you, obviously, and you don't want to be hit, you may well feel the need to roll more dice to not get hit. Who wants to get hit? Certainly in Simbroom, when actually getting hit is... it's a pretty deadly game, as we've already said. In those circumstances, if you roll any successes, you're not hit. You won't be hit. But if you get either a minor or a major complication, that will be more severe. So, for example, if you get a major complication, so you roll 3 dice and you only roll 1 success, you're not hit, but something bad has happened. You've fallen over, or you've tripped, or something that gives you a significant disadvantage in the next round. If you roll 1 success under the number of dice you're rolling, so you roll 3 and you get 2 successes, or you roll 2 and you get 1, then you get a minor complication. It might be that you drop a weapon or something, or you spill your money bag on the floor, or something that then won't immediately mean you're going to get killed in the next round, but it's something that will be not beneficial to you. But let's see how it plays out.
So, just to clarify, you have to choose how many you're going to roll.
Yep,
in
absolutely.
Terms of sort of an expression of effort, how you're committing yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't roll one and then you fail. Then you decide you're going to roll another.
No, not at all.
Rules as written, having rolled one, you can spend an XP to roll it again. Does that rule change with this new one? Is that an option?
I think it remains an option. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we've always been reluctant to spend an XP.
Yeah, and I feel it's a bit harsh to make players spend their XP for an extra roll, but... So I think, yes, that continues. And if you do spend an XP, you get to roll the hand of dice that you rolled.
Right. So if I rolled 3 dice and...
Fluff it. You can
spend an XP and I roll 3 dice again.
If I roll 3 dice, got 1 success, I wanted to re-roll. Could I spend an XP and re-roll just 2 of those dice I rolled?
I hadn't thought about that.
If I wanted to get a better
success?
That's
kind of making it a bit...
complicated again, is it?
What do you think? What do you guys think?
I think stick with the original thing you fought out instead of trying to overcomplicate it.
So all or nothing. So re-roll. You either re-roll all or you don't re-roll at all.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
So if I roll 3 dice and fail on 3 dice, then
that's it.
Something pretty bad happens.
It's going to be a major complication, as I'm describing it.
So, if I roll three dice again, because I spent an XP, and this time succeed on one dice, then what about that major? Does that major complication get added on to whatever?
No, I think if you spend an XP to re-roll, you are basically replacing the first dice roll with the second. So if you wanted to, if you got three, I don't know if this will be a situation that will arise, but if you rolled three dice and you got one success, but actually for whatever reason that wasn't sufficient, you could burn an XP and roll those three dice again. But if you got zero successes, tough shit.
Okay.
Does that sound like a workable system? Okay. The other thing I'm going to do is what I've done in other games, where if you might be doing something that's a longer term thing, let's say you're doing, I don't know, some research in a library over a period of days or something, I'll get you to roll three dice, and then the number of successes you get determines how much information you might find or not find, or how well you've done in that long term operation or project that you're doing. This is the kind of thing I do in all the other games I play. It's just another way of doing it. I think it applies equally here, so I'll just try that as well, potentially, in this scenario. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Does that make some sense?
Yep. Makes sense to me.
Okay, right then. So, if you remember, the end of the last scenario...
Some festival, wasn't it, as well, wasn't it?
So you've got the Festival of the Silver Fields, which is come and gone now. You'd come back from the cold caverns with the hearts, which are, I think you said, you've got them in a barrel in the old barrel cellar where you sleep.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell anyone? Are you telling anyone about what you found at the depths of the cold caves?
What you mean about the hidden city?
About the door in the city, yeah.
I don't know. Is there anyone that we trust enough to?
Well,
do we trust any of the authority figures around?
Definitely not. I don't know.
Sure, we do we? So.
No. Well, not to change things, point of view, is I think they're a bit.
No, I think we probably haven't.
Maybe we've told the goblins. What do you think?
Potboy shrugs.
Yeah.
He isn't offering an opinion at this moment.
I'm expressly not telling anybody, though.
Yeah, okay. Not even the goblins?
No. When I told the goblins about the mill thing, that was because I felt there was a distinct opportunity.
Oh, no, I mean your goblins, as in Amalur and Elgor.
Oh, no, the parental goblins.
Yeah.
No.
Although Elgor is still in bed, unwell, so he hasn't been seen. He hasn't come down to the actual...
I suppose we could, yeah.
So Amalur is the only one that you're actually seeing at the moment. Cause...
I think we might. We might tell Amalur, I think we definitely trust them.
Yeah, I suppose they have gone there. They have. Well, I suppose if we're looking for more information about them, see if they know any more folklore or legends.
So,
about
I think we will tell Amalur. We will tell Amalur about what we found.
Okay. He's been very busy. So it seems that for some reason or another, business seems to be picking up.
Well, that's
okay. And with Elgor in his sick bed.
Mm-hmm.
Amalur's end up rushing around, and it's like,
so
very kind of like very interesting. Excellent. Bernard, get the food on. We've got more people coming in. Potboy, go and get another barrel of beer. So you've told him, but he doesn't seem
mm-hmm.
preoccupied with day to day stuff at the moment.
Yeah, so he doesn't go, "Oh God, you found the ancient city of
no
blah blah blah."
No, he doesn't do that. So, Andy, you were talking before about your dislike and problems with some of the
council.
Some of the council. Yeah. Is there anything you particularly want to do at this stage?
You want some murder?
No murder. No, I wasn't going to do anything like murder, but I was thinking, what's his face, his name? The guy who, the liege lord of the old parrot, Ivan Tor.
Ivan Tor, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, if I could find a picture of a dead relative of his or something like that, I was thinking, as the evening, you know, because at night time, it gets kind of a bit dangerous, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can't go out at night without being
quickly
killed.
Yes. Well, just before the night time comes along, I was thinking, if I can find a picture of his old relatives or something like that, I could try and freak him out by using shape-shifting to appear through his windows as the old relative.
Okay.
As a ghost, maybe think it's a ghost. Kind of thing like that.
Yeah, okay. Let's have a think.
Just start to purse, you're just driving mad, I think.
So obviously you were growing up in a house, your parents were servants of his.
Yeah.
Make a vigilant roll.
A vigilant, okay.
Well, just a vigilant. I think with plus, I think it'll give you plus 5 on that.
Okay.
On your target number.
Rightio, so I got a vigilant at 9.
So that's 14 or less.
14 or less. All right.
Then you need to decide how many dice you're going to roll.
I'll just stick with, as I want to, so if I roll 1, that'll be the maximum effect, won't it?
Yep, full success if you receive one dice.
Don't risk it. Well, then, we're on. That's 12.
12, okay, yeah. You can remember quite clearly. Roll a d6. Okay. And tell me what you get.
5.
You can remember very clearly his father, mm-hmm. who died 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, because you saw him around a lot.
Right, yes.
You obviously went up to the house with your parents sometimes. And they heard
okay.
So, yeah, you can remember that
okay.
person.
Okay, well, what I'll do then, I shall use my shape-assisting appearance at some point in the evening. Have a peer at them and make the face look a bit kind of rotten, kind of dead-ish.
It's kind of really.
I'm not sure. Yeah, shape shifting. How does that work? Can I have a quick look at your background? Yeah, that's it. Just so I remind myself.
Yeah.
Okay, with a successful resolute test, you can take the form, appearance, sound, and clothes of another creature, but not a specific individual.
Oh, damn.
Okay, you could probably make it look a bit like him.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, so yeah.
You could make it look like him in all but his face. Your face would be.
Yeah, okay.
If you interact with others, you must succeed on a discreet against vigilant test, or they will see through the illusion. And it lasts for a scene. Okay.
Well, I don't want to interact. I just want to choose the right man with, you know, and then when he comes running out, it'll be me, or walking down the street or something.
Okay. So, in the map of Granite Hold here, Ivan Tor's manor house is. You see where the guild hall is with an M? Directly above that.
Alright.
Directly
yeah.
above it.
Yeah.
No, too far. The house directly above it. Not that one, to the right. That's
right. Yeah.
So that one is on just corner. It's just off the eastern square, north of
All right.
The guild hall. Mm-hmm. The town hall, and that is his manor.
Right, yeah.
With a door out onto the eastern square there.
And whereabouts is the old pub?
So the your inn is head south. That's it. It's the right, south end by the river.
Right.
Okay. So you're not far away. It's 100 meters, if that.
Well, I should take some time judging the distance, so I don't get myself locked out at night.
Okay.
Aha! Oh, bugger.
Yeah, it's not for it's. I mean, it's a minute, Weird. 2 minutes walk at the most.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay, and I shall work. Well, I'll just.
So it's probably a bit more than 100 metres.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just. Yeah, I suppose I'll spend some evenings waiting for the chance to pull the prank, as long as we're not, you know, if I get some time off at the inn or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, your duties at the inn are. I mean, it's quite busy, actually, so they're sort of wanting more of you to be around, but it doesn't stop you going off for a little while. You just need to make sure that there's enough people around.
Okay.
And there are quite a lot of people at the inn. So you've got Amla, obviously, who runs it. Elgor's not well. You've got two cooks, Bernard and Adalbert, Bernard's son. And then you've got two maids, Ragnhild and Mariam, and then you three.
Okay.
So there's quite a lot of you, actually, there. But so when the inn gets quite busy, it can get... Obviously, it gets quite busy. All right, I'm gonna over the next couple of days, then Andy, if you're sort of trying to spot the right moment, make another vigilant test. Again, I'd give you plus 5 on that because Ivan Tor doesn't really make any kind of bones about. Well, he tries to make a splash. He's trying to improve everyone how important he is.
Well, we'll roll with 1 dice then. That's a 3.
Okay, yeah, you get a good sense of when he's back at the manor and. What might be a good time?
Right, yeah.
Good time to do that. But before you get... So this is sort of like on a couple of days, over the period of a couple of days. But business has really started to pick up at the inn has become quite brisk, with quite a few new faces coming in, people you haven't seen before, coming into the inn. I mean, these are all Granite Hold.
Right, not travelling.
They're not from outside.
And obviously, you know, with Elgor still being ill, it's getting quite busy.
Well, quite packed, okay.
One afternoon, though, you are surprised to see a face you've never seen in here before, and that is Ivan Tors.
All right.
Come in with a little entourage, his houseman, and a couple of hangers-on. And they come in, and they walk in and sit down at one of the tables on the ground floor, and the houseman points it at you and says, "Ogre, food and drink, please."
I nod. I've got a little linen serviette over my large forearm. I count the numbers.
There's five of them in total.
Point to a flagon of ale.
Yes, yes, of course.
And I go to the bar and ask for five flagons of ale. And what's our house dish? What's the chef's special today?
You tell me.
Rabbit stew?
Rabbit stew.
I was out all morning catching rabbits. Just waiting for him still by a rabbit warren. And when I went back to have a set, I just caught him.
Do you want to make a roll? Make a quickness roll.
How many? Quickness. Quickness is, of course, one of my...
I'm not sure you can dominate a rabbit.
No, I'm not going to
dominate. So I think it's quick.
Because this is food and I'm taking a bunch of time, I am going to use...
Three dice.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm rolling on quickness, which is 9. I don't have any modifier for my bunnies.
I'll give you +1. Go on.
+1.
How generous is that?
That's very generous. I was expecting no modifier. and I've got 1 9. 1 7 and 1 12.
So that's 2 successes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you managed to catch a few, not as many as you perhaps hoped.
Right.
Minor complication, what's that? You've caught myxomatosis.
I want the flex of extra saliva from my lips against my large myxomatosis. Can you catch myxomatosis?
I'm not sure you can.
Unless
you're a rabbit.
I don't think rabbits can catch myxomatosis until somebody invents myxomatosis.
That is true, yeah.
I'm not sure it's transmissible to ogres.
Okay, yeah, you capture yourself a few rabbits, yeah.
So there's a rather thin rabbit stew is our special.
Presumably we're not just reliant on the food that we go and hunt and catch ourselves, are we? We buy food as well.
There's plenty of vegetables.
You could probably buy a few rabbits to supplement.
Anyway, rabbit stew is what's on offer.
So the slight complication is that it's been put up as
rabbit stew.
Homemade, home hunted rabbit stew, but somebody saw you going and buying a few rabbits in the market on the way, back. There's a couple of people going, it's not really hunted by Popboy.
I did signal to the butcher not to simply hand me the rabbits, but to throw them to me.
Just to throw them out on the street so you can
chase
them.
If anybody asks, I can say I caught them. Or, I won't say I caught them, because I don't say anything at all.
Because that was funny.
So, home caught rabbit stew is what is on offer. And we get 5 bowls of that. Yep. Ladle up with some chunky bread. I've already taken them their beer. I take a big tray with all these 5 bowls and I put it down on the table and methodically put them out around all the 5 diners.
Cool. Well, they tuck in and they sort of enjoy the food. They seem to enjoy the food. So the place is quite busy. There's quite a lot of, people drinking beer and there's a good buzz. In the inn this afternoon. And after a little while, the houseman comes over to you and says,
When you say houseman, is he kind of like chief footman or something?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, yeah.
Or butler, stroke, rolling up all that kind of stuff into one. And he comes over and says, my Lord Ivan would like Amrath to come and have a word with him. If you could fetch him, please.
I nod. And where is Amrath right now?
He's behind the bar.
Okay.
On the upper level, that is.
Up to the upper level. And get his attention the way I always get his attention, which is just by looking at him, because that's how I communicate with everybody. He's okay, looking quite busy.
He's quite busy, yeah.
What's he doing?
He's wiping down the bar at the moment.
Okay. So I take the cloth from his hand, persuasively, gently but persuasively, and I start wiping down the bar.
Okay.
And I say, and I point downstairs to where Lord Ivan is sitting. And,
okay.
Say.
Okay. He gets the message, and obviously, yeah, it's been a bit of a murmuring talking point that Ivan Tor is in the inn of the Lonesome Ogre at all. So he's obviously aware that he's there. So he sort of nods and then goes down and sits at the table. What are you two doing at this moment?
Well, whatever our normal duties would be. So, what I do, I serve at the bar. Can I take over serving at the bar while Amber goes and talks to this chap? Yep. So
well,
just,
you know, I mean, last time I saw cleaning the tables, I got told that was potboy duty. So. So I suppose just clearing the plates away and stuff like that.
Whatever, oh, well, yeah. Hold on. If he's more of a scurry person than I am, then I throw him the cloth because I'm kind of interested. So I want to kind of go and busy myself and eavesdrop a bit.
Okay.
Because I don't talk much, but I listen.
Okay.
Yeah, but nobody ever knows. You don't tell anybody.
Just have an interested look on your face.
What's that with you?
Okay, so Tor and gets Amrath to sit down next to him, and their sort of heads are together, and they're having sort of a quietly spoken, slight, you know, reasonably discreet conversation, but seems quite intense. You know, there's quite a lot of talking and gesticulating.
Does it look kind of amicable, or does it look like they're kind of arguing with each other about something? Not that I'm there watching, I'm upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably see from up there just about. Could you all roll three dice against Vigilant, please?
Three dice, ooh.
Matthew, minus two on your target, minus four for both of them.
Minus four.
Vigilant, ten.
One success.
And we've all got to roll three dice, so are we building up our complication here? Or is this
no, this is no, this is kind of extended task thing that I was talking about.
I got no successes there.
One success. Okay.
Minus four.
Minus two, I make one success.
One success I got.
But the other two, I fail.
And one success for you as well. Okay. Yeah. You can tell, you can't really see from where you are, Tone, because inconsiderate customers come and ask you for some beer and stuff, and so your attention is drawn away. But you two can both see that Amla's obviously not happy at what's being discussed, and Tor is doing just about all of the talking, and the only thing that Amla seems to be saying is no.
He's trying to buy the
pub. And shaking his head.
He's trying to buy the pub, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Is Amla looking distressed?
He's not looking very happy. No.
Okay, so it is my duty towards my adopted parents, as I see them, to come and stand somewhat menacingly behind Amla, in the way that I've often done when there's been a rowdy drunk giving Amla a hard time. An anti-goblinist person giving him, just pushing him. I come and stand slightly intimidatingly behind Amla and listen carefully to what Tor's saying.
Okay. So could you make it discreet, Matt? This is going to be pretty difficult for you, I think, at minus five.
I can't make it discreet at minus five.
Ask me a discreet. My discreet's eight, so I thought I wasn't going to bother.
Okay. Will you succeed on a one?
Succeed on a one. I will.
Because basically this is about how long it takes Tor to notice you and how soon he stops talking.
Right. Well, I'm not looking necessarily to actually hear what's being said, so I got four. So I would have succeeded if you hadn't given me the minus five.
Yeah. Fair enough. I was pretty generous giving you minus five, actually. Okay, so as you walk up, Tor obviously sees you coming, stops and says, no, we don't need any more beer. Thank you, pot boy.
More beer, I nod. And go back to the bar.
Okay.
How busy is it? So the pub's quite packed, is it?
Or? It's probably as busy as they've ever seen it. Yeah, it's for some reason, this last week or so, it's become quite popular.
Do you have a sense from what people have been kind of saying about why the clientele has increased? Have any of the other inns in town closed down, or something happened at one of them to put people off them that we know, have we heard about?
Not that you're aware of, nope, not that you were aware of.
And what has the clientele been? Has it been mixed, multi-ethnic, as it were, or has it been mostly human? I mean, compared to roughly the numbers in town.
Yeah, mostly human. Ambrian, mostly. Okay, so Tor goes back to his conversation. You can all make discreet rolls, vigilant rolls again.
What, just on one dice?
It's three dice again, on the same basis as last time.
Minus five, yes.
To whatever minus I gave you before, yeah.
So I got minus two.
Yeah.
Minus two successes.
No, no successes.
Okay. Yeah, Potboy, as you're walking away, and Tor starts talking to Amla again, you do catch a couple of things. He says to Amla, "You and your goblin brother have been here from the day the earth was first cut. You're respected. No one wants this to be a problem." And then, as you get further away, you kind of indistinct. You know, you can't really hear what's saying, but you do hear the word changeling.
No, I don't like you. I don't like you.
Right, where are you guys?
I'm at the bar upstairs, serving punters.
I mean, good boy, and I'm cleaning tables.
Downstairs, 5 minutes. Oh, five beers. Downstairs, yes, right. I know you like not to speak, but you are capable of speech. And sometimes it would, you know, make things a little bit easier.
Does Ivan's have a good view of the door?
Pull five.
Does he have like a beer? Door?
On a tray?
Not at the moment, no, because the door's... Where he's sitting and leaning into Amla, his back is basically to the door.
Alright.
Are you slipping out?
No, I was thinking if you could see the front door, I was going to do a slight change so he could see.
Oh, okay.
Try and freak him out if he saw somebody there.
Given that Tony did remind me that I can talk, although very rarely.
That was very kind of him, wasn't it?
Oh, you fool.
As I take the tray of beers from him, I say, Ivan Tor doesn't like changelings. And then I hawk up and spit in his beer. I spit in one of them.
Only spit, huh?
Cappuccino. Any sugar? You can find a couple of lumps, Baldrick.
Any chocolate.
Right, okay.
I take them down. I make sure that Tor gets the spat in one.
Mm.
Does he attempt to pay?
They haven't attempted to pay yet for any of it.
No. Does he protest when I put their five beers in front of him again?
No, not really. Again, just sort of.
Can I roll discreet to come at him from a slightly different angle so that I might come behind Tor as I'm delivering the tray so I might hear a few more words?
You can. Let me just see. What's his. No modifier then on. Well, no, actually. I'll give you plus two on that.
Plus two. Seven. I'm really trying to catch.
How many dice? Three.
Three dice. Ooh. 1-7 and 2 fails.
Okay.
One, actually.
So it's two successes.
Sorry. One, what I said was seven, was one.
All right, okay.
And two fails.
Okay, so...
So I'm guessing I get quite close, but then knock over somebody's beer.
Yeah, I think absolutely. So you're getting closer, and in your attempt to sneak up on them, which... Yeah, you still get a bit closer, but you do hear the word changelings again. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, you bump into a chair, you then bump into somebody else, and you drop the beers on the floor.
All
five.
Five yeah. beers.
Yeah. Drop them on Tor's head.
Can I drop them? Can I
oh,
forward on the floor?
Make a quick roll.
So
just a straight quickness.
Nine. That's my quickness. Yep.
Is that a success?
Yeah, it's a success.
Okay, you manage to get it and drop them onto the table where they are rather than directly on the Tor himself. But five pints of beer on the table makes quite a splash.
Yes.
And it splashes across. It splashes on Tor's clothes, splashes onto Amla. The houseman jumps up and says, "Oh, you fool! You fool!" Because you're a push.
I bow very deeply. Take my little serviette off my large
forearm. I thought you'd given it to me, sir.
and dab it. No, that was all the bar cloth that I took from Amla. So my little my waiter's serviette, it doesn't, of course, soak it up, but I
not even make close, no. To it. Obviously, Tor is seething. He's got up and he's trying to brush down Amla's. So, oh, terribly sorry, pop boy, be more careful, pop boy.
I put my saddest eyes on.
And Tor says, "Don't forget what we talked about, Amla." And he walks out.
I give Amla a little pat on the back and go and get some more cloths.
It's like, yeah, clear this up, potboy. And he goes upstairs and then through into his rooms. So the rest of the afternoon plays out. It's nice and busy. But you don't see Amla again. So then the bells start to ring.
All right, for the
for half an hour before sundown.
Can I? Yes, why not?
Okay. So you're going to go and do your shapeshift thing.
Yes, yeah.
As the bells ring, guys, you see that Grendel steps out. Have you given them? Have you told them what your plan is?
I think that's less people know less. Less backlash, isn't it, really? So,
okay.
As long as I'm back within half an hour.
Right then, shapeshifter. So this is a trait.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't cost you any... Yeah, so as a trait, it doesn't cost you any corruption.
Okay.
I don't think. Nope. Okay. So where are you going to go to achieve your shapeshift? Because obviously it's... something you don't want to do in the middle of the street.
No, I was going to... Yeah, I've done this before, this is all. I suppose I'm just going to head towards his house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there must be an indiscreet area around by his house where I could, you know...
You could go into one of the back alleys, yeah.
Back alleys, so I was trying to, yes, yeah. See if I can get the old face correcting or whatever.
So, yeah, so as you said, what you're trying to do is just get the appearance and the clothing and
yes, and yeah. You probably remember from the old portrait I saw.
Yeah.
Well,
you'd have seen the real person.
The real person. Oh, right, but okay.
Your shapeshift ability isn't powerful enough
uh-huh.
to be able to do a convincing face.
Okay.
But you can get yourself as close as...
Right, yeah.
As you can. And for that, you need to make a resolute roll.
Right, yeah. So resolute for me is... Where is it? Let's see it somewhere. 12, I think. Yes. 12. So, if I wanted to be successful, truly, I've got to roll one dice, haven't I?
To get a full success, yeah, you need either one success on one dice, two success on two die, or three successes on three.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll go for two, I think. Sod it.
Okay.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Yep.
12. Come on, that's a six. One success.
So it is a success. Okay.
Okay.
You think you could probably do it better, but uh-huh. you think you've got the kind of the form and shape just about right.
I'm just gonna look around the floor ground because it's two story, I imagine, his house, isn't it?
His house is Certainly two story, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just gonna do a quick scout round just see if I can see
So on the front of the house where it overlooks the Eastern Square, you've got a big door, a big sort of ornate oak door on the ground floor going in. There is a balcony that runs across above that, which is obviously from the tour sometimes seen on.
Right, yeah.
And that is where he is at the moment, in a ornate dressing gown, looking like he's just been washed down after having had five pints of beer poured over him. And he's there smoking a pipe, just overlooking the scene on the square as people are beginning to bustle off home.
Uh-huh. Okay, I suppose I don't have the appearance. I suppose I'm going to stand in a corner of the square or something like that. So you can kind of...
Okay, do you want to show on the map then where you want to...
So the square's there, yes?
So that's all the square, yeah?
Yeah, the pub's down
there. If you give it here, I'll just mark where... I'll mark it with a T, which is Tor's house.
Uh-huh.
As I said, it's the one just...
Yeah. So it's just that one there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on that corner just north of the of the guild hall, yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to... So the pub's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
it's getting quite dark now. Yeah, the sun hasn't set fully, but the sun is below with the tops of the trees in the west.
I'm going to just stand... Can you see that bridge? Can you see the bridge from his balcony?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to just stand there just for a few minutes, just to hope... Well, just to see if he sees my... Because I assume he's just surveying all he can see, can't he?
He's just... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to make it quite obvious, just stand there for a few minutes, just looking up to see if he can see the... see me, and then turn and then go across the bridge and work my way quickly down down across the bridge and down towards the pub.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And as soon as I'm around there, say down there, I must be changed back.
Right, okay. Yeah. Yep. Make a vigilant test then, please, Andy. Yeah. I'll give you plus two.
Plus two, yeah. We'll go for two guys. Ooh, no, failed, bugger.
Okay.
You're stuck like that now. You can't change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He does see you.
Uh-huh.
You don't see him see you.
All right.
You don't also see until much later that the houseman has come striding across here.
Uh-huh.
And the first you see him is about when he's about 20 yards away from you. He goes, "You there! You!"
Oh, bugger.
And he's marching directly in your direction.
Well, I'll just pretend I haven't heard him and just continue down the alleyway like I said. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
And change, like I say, when I'm down the alley.
Yeah, he shouts, "Stop!"
Uh-huh.
So, I think we'll run this effectively into a combat. although he's not attacking, he's just chasing you.
Chasing
you,
okay.
So, your quickness is...
My quickness.
Because that determines initiative.
My quickness is... let's see, 11.
Okay, you go first then.
Right, yeah.
So, I think it's going to be a quick versus quick roll.
Right.
As you're trying to run away and find a spot to change, and he's trying to chase you. So, make a quickness check with plus three.
I will make it two, solid. One success.
Okay. So, yeah, you do manage to draw away from him a bit, but there's a group of people coming over the bridge as you were coming this way, and you're having to sort of push and bump your way past them all.
Right, yeah.
And they're all getting kind of a really good look at you as you're doing that.
Well.
Or whatever it is.
Okay, fair enough.
But you do manage to get into the alley, into the alleyways here before he does, so you can
change,
revert back.
Yeah.
But how quick is it? Can you change? Is it kind of very?
I think it's pretty much instantaneous. Yeah.
Well, I'll just walk slowly then. As soon as I'm changed, I'll just be walking.
Okay.
Walking towards the inn.
Right. So because you're now on the west side of the river, then you have to come down through this path here behind the
the boatyards there, and then go across the footbridge here.
Yep, okay.
To get back to there, but that's fine. So this is quite. This isn't very busy. This bit. And the houseman runs to here.
As he's running on the corner, he's still shouting, "Stop!" And then he just stops himself.
Yeah, I just turn and look, sorry. God, just turn and give him a weird look. So
he's a bit confused.
Yeah.
And he sees you, obviously, but then turns and walks away.
Okay, and I'll head towards the inn.
Okay. Yeah, you can get back to the inn a few minutes before sundown.
Okay.
For the purposes of the tape, Potboy was tapping his wrist as if to say, "What time do you call this?" Or was that, "Where the hell have you been when we were walking clearing up?"
This is the international symbol for "Where the hell have you been?" Nothing to do with time, because wristwatches haven't been invented.
Wrist sundials.
Well, I'm sure they'll
carry one. Such things.
In Blackadder.
Yeah, that documentary.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Can I just point out, because while that was going on, I was looking at attributes. There is a way of increasing your attributes by buying a talent. A talent being exceptional attribute.
Yes, that's true.
And at novice level, it gives you plus one. Adept gives you plus two. And master gives you plus three. And you can have it as many times as you want. That is to say...
I think you can only you can only increase them by plus three each.
Plus three, but you can get exceptional, accurate, cunning, discreet.
Yes.
So you can have plus one in all of them.
Over time. For 10 points.
10 points each.
Which is interesting, actually. That is right, I do remember that now you say that. If we were talking about boons before we started recording, and a boon would give you plus one to an attribute in a specific circumstance, like lockpicking or some such like that. So in that sense, you'd spend 10 points to get plus one on everything you do with that stat, or you spend 10 points to get 2 points extra on a very narrow
specific
field. So Matt is eating Pringles again, and from our early experiences of podcasting with Pringles, it's not... Well, editing out 30 seconds of just crunching, which is what I had to do on a number of occasions, was a lot of fun, but let's not do it again. Anyway, so night is beginning to fall.
Okay.
The inn is...
Has Amla come out of his room yet?
Amla hasn't come out of his room yet.
I'm going to go and knock on the door of his room then.
Okay, yeah.
So, Amla, are you okay?
He comes out and he looks tired and old. He says, "Yes, my boy, I'm well."
What did that Tor character say to you two?
Nothing. Nothing for you to concern yourself about, young Redder Merimai.
Am I within hearing of this?
You can be. Yep.
I lumber over in my discreet way, and I kind of frown at Amla and shake my head. And I point to my ear.
How much did you hear, Potboy?
I shrug.
Not very much. Then. Nothing for you to worry about. It's something that it's under control.
Well, Potboy did mention in one of his rare forays into actual speech something about Tor not liking changelings, which suggests that what he said has something to do with me and Grendel, and maybe we do have a right to know what.
We all know that Tor doesn't like changelings. He was behind the movement to run the poor Tanaris family out of town when young Grendel was found to be a changeling. So no surprise that they don't like changelings. Tor isn't someone that you need to worry about.
Well, maybe it's... If you tell us, maybe it's something we can help with.
Or persecute something. But I mean,
maybe we can send Grendel in to make scary faces at somebody.
Because that worked so well the first time.
Work in progress. Work in progress.
You have no idea how much of an effect it had on Tor.
No.
Obviously, it had enough of an effect for him to send his houseman running after you. But, he says, look. Just shut the shop up before the bells stop ringing, and let's all have a good night's sleep.
I give him a look of concern, but then nod.
He gives you a little pat on the shoulder, and then he goes back inside.
I give him a pat.
Nugget.
Oh, you've killed him there. Okay, I'm going to finish tidying up and locking up the doors and shutters. Yeah.
Does he give you a pat on my shoulder? I am about 8 foot tall or something.
Yeah. And he gives you a pat as close to your shoulders as you can get.
At a depth level.
Yeah, you are pretty big. Yeah. So it's probably patting you on the elbow or something.
Okay, right. And of course, I do crouch down, actually, because ceilings are so low in this.
The ceilings are place. Probably
got a bad back then.
Yeah, I like to stretch by. I guess the ripping changelings apart.
The true nature of the ogre comes out. No, so the downstairs bit will be perfectly high.
Yeah.
But yeah, upstairs it's probably only about 7 foot high.
So anyway, I'm doing the shutters.
Yeah.
Particularly the high shutters because I can use those.
Yeah, okay. So you shut up shop. Anything anybody wants to do before you repair to the barrel cellar for a good night's sleep?
Don't think so.
Just check the old... Those old stone hearts are in the same place I hid them away.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the more still you check them, the more you risk somebody spotting you checking them. You know that.
This is only the first time I've checked them.
You do notice.
I was going to say, are they still warm before? Yeah.
They're not still warm, but you can see where they're resting on the bottom of the barrel.
Uh-huh.
The wood around where they're resting has been a bit scorched.
Well, all right. Okay.
It's blackened slightly.
Uh-huh.
As if there was heat.
Oh, sounds like a fire risk to me.
The health and safety executives.
Coming all that far, really, yeah.
That's what Ivantor is.
Have you filled out a risk assessment form?
Yeah, way down. Yeah.
Okay. Right then, so you all go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Can you all make a vigilant roll, please?
Oh, good.
With no modifier?
With any modifiers?
No modifier. Yeah.
No, I sleep soundly.
I rolled two. And
yeah,
one,
well,
one
I got
success.
One success. That is a critical success. Rolled a nine. A nine and a nine.
No.
Oh.
A one would be a critical success. Okay.
Oh,
thanks,
bloody
Spotboy.
Hell! Thank you. Are you reversing? Weekend? No.
Rehearsing for the weekend.
Snoring, farting again.
Yes.
you think you've got a bed. I've got a room booked for Dragon Meat at the hotel, which I've said he could share.
Oh, well, you're
and
doomed.
And it's a double room, not a twin.
Well, because it's a...
This is only the second time we've shared a double bed.
Only the second, yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Yes, Andy, you are... You wake up in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh.
And Tony, yeah, you kind of get this as well, but you're a bit groggier. You can hear movement upstairs.
All right.
Not a lot, just but definite footsteps.
So it's not his snoring?
There's snoring reverberating around the entire building.
It doesn't seem to be, no.
Okay.
But does Amla, where does Amla sleep? Is there room upstairs?
Yeah. So if we find the... There was a map of the inn. But I gave
you
in that pack of maps.
Maps in a reason of being a troll?
What have you done with them?
Did you take that map?
Did I? Oh, maybe I did. Gosh, where have you put those bloody maps? I mean, it's outrageous. Anyway.
Oh, then we found them.
So, yeah, on the inn of the Lonesome Ogre, they live on the first floor.
Uh-huh.
They have a room each.
Oh, yes. A room labelled Amlet and Elgor's room, presumably.
Strangely enough, yeah. And you're
a suite of rooms,
in the luxury. In the old barrel cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hearing movement up in the main bar area.
Okay, I'm gonna pick up my sword and sneak up the stairs to have a look.
Shall we wake? Sleeping Beauty there.
Give pop by a click. Just to keep quiet.
Pat that noise
mean,
upstairs.
Just stop snoring. The rest of us can sleep.
Okay, you hear the sound of...
while those two are arguing, let's slowly go upstairs.
Yeah. Did you pick up a weapon? Or?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
As you're going up the stairs, you can hear the sound of a latch being unlocked. Ooh. And a locking bar being pulled back. Sounds like the front door.
That's not good.
And this is, what time is this now? Still the middle of the night?
Middle of the night, yeah.
So, somebody going outside, not an advisable activity at this point. Okay. So the stairs up from the cellar, is it these ones?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, going to creep up as quiet as possible, yeah, but not too slowly.
That'll be discreet rolls, is it? If you don't know.
Yes, if you're trying to be discreet, that would be discreet roll. Matthew, what are you doing?
I am following, trying to be discreet.
Oh dear.
Be discreet. Roll a couple of dice.
And I am being discreet.
No,
I have two fails with one of them a critical fail.
Okay.
So I've not been very discreet.
No. It's a fail on one dice.
So, Andy, you're up first.
Yeah.
You were the last, I assume, and you were second. Well, did you fail?
I've just rolled one, just one dice though, not.
But, and that's a fail still. Yeah. Matthew?
I have succeeded.
Okay. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Okay, Tony, you've tripped and you're now falling back down the stairs. As a result, trying to be careful. You've dropped your sword. Can you make a... what's the right one? Quick, I think.
Oh, dear. That's a shame. Oh, I'll go with three dice. Because... Okay, so that's one success, but it's a one, so it's a critical success.
Okay.
Two failures.
Okay. I think you've injured yourself on your sword.
Oh, ow.
So take 2 points of damage, please.
So that's come off my toughness.
Yes, off your toughness. And Matthew, you're going to try and catch him because he's coming at you and his sword is...
Can I count my discreet as a catch? Or was he still falling?
No, he's falling, so it's quick.
Quick. I catch him.
Okay.
And I go...
I go, ah! Yeah, you basically cut yourself somewhere as you sort of fall in the roll.
I put my hand over his mouth because, as far as I'm concerned, I'm still being really discreet.
Don't say
snoring,
So Grendel's gone up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. I've gone.
I don't know. <Bart's> gone. And Potboy's gone.
So whoever it is, they'll never know where you're coming.
No.
Okay, so Andy, you're up in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. The kitchen door is left open, and there is a little like a serving window as well that you can look through, and you can see that the front door is open.
Oh, bugger. I suppose really, truly, you better go and shut it really.
Okay.
Have a quick look through, see if you can see anybody who might have gone through it. If it is it Amulet that's gone off? Or was somebody else breaking in?
I assume.
So, Andy, you're first to the door. When you're reaching the door, you can hear a voice outside that's sobbing.
Alright, okay.
It's Elgor.
Alright.
And he's on his knees in front of the statue. Seems to be...
Hold on, what time of day is this?
Middle of the night.
And he's not been attacked?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay.
He's only just gone out there. And he's sobbing and he's going, I'm sorry, I didn't know. We didn't know. What can I do to make it right? I'm so sorry.
He seems to be...
Standing at the statue?
Yeah. But he seems fast asleep. His eyes glazed over.
He's sleepwalking, is he?
I signal to these guys to keep back a moment, because I've always felt an affinity with this statue.
Alright.
And I go closer. He's asleep. He's actually sleepwalking.
Seems to be, yeah. Or in some kind of trance. But
now, I've seen this creature attack the thing in the night. I've seen that woman in the first scenario get attacked. Is there any sign of smell or anything that I can sense of that feature?
Make a vigilant test, all of you, at +2.
Draw two dice on. Why not? Oh, just one. Got it. Yes. Got it.
Two fingers.
This extra dice mechanic's really working out well, isn't it?
Well, it just means I'm failing particularly hard. even worse than normal.
Even harder than before.
So I know when to run away and he's still going, no?
So I'm standing at the door looking basically around for any signs of these the night creatures.
Did anybody get any successes?
Yeah, I got one.
I didn't.
Is that one on one dice?
Yes, yeah.
There's always a kind of a tension in the air at night at the moment, but you can't sense something close. Okay. But it's wise not to stay outside for too long, you would think.
So I go up to him. I'm behind him.
Yep.
I'm kind of taking a sort of position that will protect him from any blows if I get attacked.
Scare the life out of him when he comes out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just listening to what he's saying.
So he's obviously very sad about something. He just keeps saying over and over, "I'm sorry, I didn't know. What can I do to make it right? I'm so sorry."
And he's in a bit of a loop of
saying, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know whether this is the right thing to do with sleepwalkers, but I'm an ogre, so I do what I do. I put my hand calmly on a shoulder.
Scare him to death.
And I calmly, I try and wake him gently by putting my hand on his shoulder. Does he respond to that?
No.
And he's kneeling?
He's kneeling, yeah.
He's looking very old and very ill as well.
Okay, I'm putting one of my large hands, if I can, under his thigh and trying to pick him up like a baby.
Yep.
Supporting his head.
Yeah, I think you can do that.
Okay.
Don't think you need to bother rolling for that. I think you can manage that.
And does he react to that at all?
No.
And was he touching the statue?
Pardon?
Was he touching the statue?
Intermittently, yeah. So yeah, he was sort of touching it occasionally with his hands, and then he was sort of like touching his face and sobbing a bit. Mm.
Okay.
Not.
And he's not reaching out now. Was he reaching out now as I'm carrying him?
No, not really. He's kind of just carrying on sobbing and saying, he's sort of like, what's the right way of putting it? Sort of like leaning into your embrace as you're holding.
So I'm going to, carry him like a baby, basically. Turn him to face me onto my chest.
Yep.
And one hand sort of, behind his neck, supporting his head, the other hand under his buttocks.
Yep.
And looking about one last time, looking up at the statue.
The statue doesn't seem to be any different.
Okay. Just checking around for any sight or sound of that creature.
You can sense something on the wind.
Right, heading
something
back
is coming
to the safety of the inn.
Yes, you can get back inside, yeah.
Okay, I'm assuming the other guy's waiting there.
Uh-huh.
If he hasn't woken.
No.
In his whole experience.
No.
So you're carrying Elgor back in?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's now kind of just sort of sobbing half.
As soon as the ring will shut and lock and bolt the door.
Yep. Okay, you do that. You can sense there are things outside approaching, having sensed that there was somebody outside, but they don't get here in time to cause you any trouble. You get to lock the door in good time.
Okay, I'll take him up to his room.
Yep.
And gently lay him in his bed.
And he lies there as if he'd been asleep the whole time.
Okay.
As if he'd been in his bed the whole time.
Then I'm going to sit on the floor beside his bed and put my back against the wall.
That won't freak out at all when he wakes up.
And sit down. Wait till morning, I think.
Okay.
Did he say anything or was it just sobbing and crying?
He's not aware of what he said. So he has been sobbing and crying. He's calmer now.
He's gone. He seems to be properly asleep now, yeah.
But it was all in his sleep.
Okay. Morning comes round.
Uh-huh.
Elgor seems to be as fast asleep as ever. Amla is surprised. He comes in to check on Elgor and is surprised to see you there. Potboy? Is everything all right?
I shake my head.
What's wrong, boy? What's wrong?
I put my hand gently on Elgor's bed. Stay very quiet. Put my finger to my lips. And gently guide her out towards the room.
Him.
Him out towards the room.
Okay, yeah, he goes with you, yep.
And I guess you guys went back to the basement?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think so. Went back to sleep.
Yeah.
So, coming down the steps, I come into our basement where you guys are hopefully waking up.
I'd imagine so. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. We'll wake up first night, I would think.
In hoping that they'll explain, you mean?
Yeah, so they come down and say, "Oh, Amla, so I presume Potboy's explained to you what happened last night."
No,
he hasn't. He hasn't, has he? He's just tried to do it in sign language and it hasn't worked.
Didn't even bother trying.
Even though he can speak perfectly well if he wants to. Yeah, so I'll just explain what happened. So, yeah, we woke up and found that Elgor going out through the front door, kneeling in front of the statue, and apologising and saying over and over again that sorry she didn't understand what they were doing and how they can make it right. How you can make it right. And that's all. We don't really understand what that was about.
Very strange.
Do you have any idea what that might be about?
I've no idea. I mean, he's not been well. I could just be some fevered dreams that he's having.
I give him my hard stare again, like he's trying to protect us, like he was last night, from some truth. Can I use my persuasive?
Yeah, I'll let you do that. Against Anders. So you get minus two.
Oops. 20.
Not much of a test then, is it?
That's a critical fail.
No.
We're never going to find out what this is about. Mm. She's never going to tell us.
you don't succeed in getting anything else out of him. He's like, no, it's probably just this illness that Elgor's suffering.
I shrug my shoulders, I say, and get back to work.
Okay.
Can I try? I say, do you think it's be connected in any way with what Tor came in to talk to you about last night?
Are you trying to persuade him?
Yes.
Okay.
In which case it affects us. Definitely, you don't need to protect us. We've been out. You know, we faced death. Out in the wild. We can look after ourselves. I'm going to try and persuade him. Do I get a modifier?
So minus two.
This is probably not going to go well then. I'm going to get 3 dice. Okay, so I get one success, but I also get a critical fail.
And a fail. Yeah. Okay, Amla gets a bit angry. And says, look, this is not for you to worry about. There's nothing... I don't think these are connected. Elgor is just old and tired and ill and he's having a bad dream. And you don't need to worry about what happened yesterday. I'll take care of it. And he storms off.
And as he's going, I'm going to say, look, but Amla, we're family. You're my family, and families stick together and help each other, and we can help. You don't need to protect us. We protect each other.
He kind of pauses at the door to that, but then doesn't turn around and storms off.
Okay. We'll go back to our normal duties for the morning and preparing for the day.
Okay. Amla has, after he gets angry, which is probably the first time you've seen him angry in your lives, he goes straight to the door, opens the door and goes out.
Oh, okay.
Right, I'm going to make this place spick and span, ready for
everything.
I feel guilty about making him angry.
Well, I feel conflicted, so I'm also unhappy about making him angry, but I feel like this.
You want to know what's going on?
You should be telling us.
I'm half tempted to follow him, but I suppose we should be good boys, really, and we should clean him up.
Well, that thought did cross my mind as well.
Really and truly, because, yeah. Hmm.
As you're discreet.
Hmm?
How discreet are you?
Me, 8.
Yeah, me too. So it's probably not going to go well.
No, it's not going to go well. I think we should be good little changelings.
Stay here and prepare the good opening.
Be good little changelings and clean place.
Okay, yeah, you open up. Mm-hmm. Bernard and Adalbert and Ragnald and Mariam all turn up and like, oh, where's Amla?
Ah, so he's just popped out on some
business.
Should I be back soon?
Yeah, and they're fine. They just carry on and get on with opening up the inn for breakfast.
Can I go and check in on Elgort?
See if, you can, yeah, of course.
If so, are they awake?
He's fast asleep. Seems very deeply asleep.
Okay. Well,
make a vigilant roll, Tone. You can have plus. I think plus five.
Plus actually. Five. Okay, I'm just going to go with the one. So on this case. Yeah, succeed.
Well done.
First roll of.
Excellent.
Your fortunes are turning. He's very deeply asleep. He's obviously running a bit of a temperature. He's sweating and got a fast heartbeat.
Can I get a cloth and wet it and his forehead?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, smother him to death.
No, I want to get answers out of him before I kill him.
Charming.
Yeah, so I've got to do whatever.
Yeah, you can do that. Maybe change his bedclothes for him and make him more comfortable. But he remains deeply asleep.
All right.
Okay. After an hour or so, you start getting a few people coming in for breakfast. Amla comes back and goes upstairs and starts working at the bar, getting ready, just doing the usual stuff. But again, you're getting quite a lot of people coming in, actually. It's quite, again, it's excellent business.
Because how many other inns are there in the town?
There are. There's at least two, actually. I think there's three. So you've got... So yeah, you've got the Granite Tree Tavern, the Blackbeard Hostel, and you have what's called Astor's Hovel. So Astor's Hovel is there, which is a largely goblin place. Mm-hmm. Which is on the eastern wall in the Goblin Slums. You've got the Granite Tree Tavern, which is on the western western square.
Right.
And then you've got Blackbeard's, which is just a bit further west. I think that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
And you tend to have a reasonably good relationship with the other places. You do sell some of your beer to the Blackbeard Hostel.
But in the past few days, we seem to be doing better than the other inns.
And business has really picked up for some reason. And as the morning plays through, it comes to lunchtime, and you've got quite a few people in again. And unusually, you've got a few goblins have come in.
All right.
Including Kalugo, who is, very strangely, he's kind of the leader of the goblin in Granite Hole, and he runs Astor's Hovel. So it's quite unusual for him to go to somebody else's inn. But he and a few goblins come in and they sit in the corner and order some beer and just sort of sit quietly having a drink.
They're all feeling amicable enough. Doesn't feel like any kind of tension between them and the humans in the inn.
Make a vigilant roll. You can all do that.
Mm-hmm. Succeed. Nope. Two in a row.
One.
Yeah. Succeeded the critical.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, bloody hell. That's true.
There isn't necessarily tension in the room particularly, but there's definitely something.
Mm. Right.
So you can see that Kalugo and his little group of goblins appear to be two things. One, they appear to have probably weapons under their clothes. You don't know what. It doesn't look like swords or anything. Maybe clubs or something.
Clubs, all right.
Do you have a policy then of whether you allow weapons in?
No, not really. Okay. And also, he looks like he's looking out for something.
Kluger owes me a favour.
He's looking out for some changelings to kill.
You did go to Kluger about the vacancies at Tynewald Mills. after all the goblins were slaughtered there. by that other band of ogres.
Oh, right.
So I'm going to take the drinks they ordered over to them and put up a chair. Obviously, the chairs are quite small for me, but I will gently sit upon it at the table.
It's like a person sitting on a a junior school chair or primary school chair.
And I will sort of lean on the table and look at Kaluka.
He goes, "Oh, pot boy. Joining us for a drink?"
Aye, for purposes of the audio, I move my hand from side to side.
In a no thank you kind of gesture.
I don't kick the drink on duty. But I don't say anything other than that to him.
He does seem to be kind of like, his attention isn't solely on you. He is sort of keeping his eye on around the room. Seems to be watching out for something, yeah.
You have been listening to The Simbaroom Effect, presented by RPGGods.org and FictionSuit.org. The music was the Carvosti theme by Iron Pact Orchestra, used with permission of Jan Ringer. Typefaces are Code by Font Fabric and Season of the Witch Black by ImageX.